Welcome to Mastering Defence Infrastructure, the podcast where we break down the nuts and bolts of doing business in one of Australia's most critical sectors, defence infrastructure. This is your go-to guide if you're looking to take your career or business to the next level in a field that's honestly full of huge opportunities.
Exactly. Whether you're completely new to defence infrastructure or you've already been working in the industry and want to sharpen your skills, this course is designed to set you up for success. It's comprehensive, detailed, and most importantly, practical.
And here's the exciting part. There's a full roadmap ahead. This course spans 30 weeks. Not overwhelming, but just the right length to dive deep into everything you need to know. New content drops every Monday morning, so grab your coffee and you're set to hit the ground running for the week.
Right? And it's broken into 5 logical phases, each building on the last. From understanding the governance structure behind the defence estate to practical tools like tendering processes or environmental compliance, this course provides a 360-degree view. Each week, we'll guide you through concepts, strategies, and actionable insights to equip you for long-term success.
Success that doesn't just stay theoretical, by the way. We're talking about detailed preparation to help you or your business land real contracts, navigate complex systems, and, best of all, become a trusted player in Australia's defence ecosystem.
Think of it as a journey. By the end, you'll not only understand how the defence estate operates, but also how your skills or business can uniquely fit into this larger, complex puzzle. Whether you're talking about infrastructure delivery, sustainability practices, or working with defence panels, everything is connected.
And speaking of connections, next up, we're diving straight into the governance structure of it all. Get ready to unpack how the Security and Estate Group manages this multi-billion dollar operation and what that means for you. All right, let's jump right into the governance structure we touched on before. The defence estate. It's not just some big chunk of land or a bunch of buildings. This thing is, honestly, like the backbone of the entire Australian Defence Force. Without it, we're talking about a military that can't train, deploy, or even operate effectively. Crazy, right?
Absolutely. And it's all managed by the Security and Estate Group, or SEG, which is essentially the guiding hand behind it all. Their budget alone, a staggering $6.6 billion, they're responsible for over 2.8 million hectares of land, which includes 70 major bases, more than 100 training ranges, and countless other facilities.
Hold on, 2.8 million hectares, that's like a small country.
It is. And it underscores how critical SAG's work is. Their role isn't just about upkeep, they're planning decades ahead, ensuring the ADF has what it needs to meet both current and future challenges. That's infrastructure as a capability enabler.
Right. And I mean, that's the key takeaway here. This isn't just about having bases that look pretty. It's about ensuring the ADF has the operational edge it needs. You've got everything from hangars and fuel depots to barracks and supply chains, basically the stuff that keeps the whole engine running.
Exactly. And that connection between infrastructure and operational capability was a big focus of the Defence Strategic Review in 2023. One of their main recommendations? Upgrading critical infrastructure in northern bases, which are a strategic priority given their proximity to key regional areas. An example, there's $1 billion earmarked for improvements to barracks like Robertson in Darwin and Laverack in Townsville.
Wow, that's serious money. But it makes sense. Those northern bases are, what, the first line of defence for Australia's regional security strategy?
Correct. The upgrades are part of a broader shift outlined in the review. The idea is to make bases both hardened and dispersed, which means better protecting them against threats and spreading capabilities out to reduce vulnerabilities. It's a forward-looking approach that adapts to the changing nature of defence requirements.
And that's why you often hear the phrase infrastructure as a fundamental input to capability. It's not just a fancy term. It really captures how vital these investments are. Without them, the ADF's readiness and strategic objectives are at risk. Building on that, let's talk about what's fueling these critical upgrades. The Integrated Investment Program, or IIP, for 2024. It's delivering a massive $330 billion funding boost over the next decade, specifically targeting defence infrastructure and capabilities. That kind of investment is, without exaggeration, a total game changer, wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. That funding isn't just about maintaining the status quo. It's designed to realign the defence estate to meet emerging challenges underpinned by the latest national defence strategy, the strategy of denial. Now this approach focuses on creating an integrated force across all domains, land, air, sea, space, and cyber, to deter adversaries effectively.
Right. And integrated really means everything working together, yeah? Like air bases that support Navy operations or logistics hubs that can switch seamlessly between Army and Air Force needs.
Exactly. The strategy of denial is all about being agile and unpredictable, making it difficult for any potential adversary to achieve their objectives. This philosophy is driving everything, from cyber-resilient bases to multi-purpose facilities that are ready for rapid deployments. It reinforces how critical, flexible, and modern infrastructure has become.
But I bet pulling that off isn't exactly straightforward, especially when you've got remote bases in, say, Northern Australia, which aren't exactly around the corner.
Oh, not at all. Operating in remote regions adds layers of complexity. Logistics alone can be a nightmare. Delivering materials, ensuring skilled labour is available, and dealing with environmental and heritage considerations. For instance, in northern bases like RAF Curtin or Shergar, you're often working in extreme environments with limited infrastructure nearby to support the construction effort.
Yeah, and on top of that, you've got the urgency factor, right? These upgrades aren't something you can push to next decade. They're needed now to match the ADF's strategic priorities.
Exactly. That's why strategic initiatives like the IIP focus on accelerating critical projects. It's all about ensuring that infrastructure isn't just keeping up, but stays ahead of future demands to support the ADF's mission.
Now, we've covered the big picture strategy and the transformative investments driving it, but there's another crucial piece that ties it all together. Let's dive into base services transformation, or BST. It's about modernising how essential daily services like cleaning, catering and maintenance operate on defence bases, ensuring they're as agile and mission-ready as the infrastructure they support.
Yes, and BST is more than just a tweak to the old model, it's an overhaul. The focus is on flexibility, innovation and ensuring these services can adapt in real time to meet defence's changing needs. For businesses, especially SMEs and Indigenous providers, it opens up enormous opportunities to be a part of this transformation.
Wait. So you're saying it's not just business as usual for the big players like the Ventias of the world?
Not exactly. While established companies like Ventia or JLL are certainly involved, BST goes a step further by actively encouraging participation from smaller and Indigenous businesses. For example, Defence has embedded requirements for local and Indigenous participation directly into these contracts. It's about building capacity at all levels, not just relying on large primes.
Okay, but how does that play out on the ground? Like, do SMEs really get a fair shot here? Or is it just a token gesture?
Great question. Here's a real example. Let's look at projects delivered through the EstateWorks program under BST principles. A small Indigenous plumbing company in New South Wales was hired through JLL's contracting framework to upgrade water systems on a defence base. It started as a small $500,000 project, but their performance was so solid, they were awarded subsequent contracts, eventually scaling to handle more complex work independently.
That's huge. So they essentially went from newcomer to serious player, building credibility in the process.
Exactly. And that's the power of BST and similar programs. It's designed to bring these small players into the fold through smaller, manageable projects. Over time, they gain the experience and confidence to tackle larger defence infrastructure challenges. It's a win-win for everyone involved.
And it gets even better when you factor in the industry partnerships. I mean, Oricon, JLL. These guys are like the middle layer that connects defence to the contractors on the ground, right?
Right. They act as facilitators, bringing their project management and engineering expertise to the table. With a company like JLL, for instance, you see a strong commitment to fostering partnerships. In fact, about 39% of their spend on EstateWorks projects in 2021 went to Indigenous businesses.
That's impressive. So these partnerships aren't just handling logistics. They're creating pathways for smaller players to scale up in a big industry.
Exactly. Partnerships like these strengthen the defence ecosystem by ensuring better integration, quality delivery, and diversity in the supply chain. Whether it's Oricon scoping out projects or JLL mentoring small contractors, these efforts are reshaping not just how infrastructure gets built, but who builds it.
So, Jessica, hearing how BST and partnerships like the ones JLL and Oricon spearhead are reshaping opportunities for smaller players is incredible. It really highlights the broader transformation happening across the defence estate. Now, let's shift gears and reflect on what all of this means for defence infrastructure moving forward.
Absolutely. And now it's time for you, the listeners, to put some of that knowledge into action. To start, we encourage you to test your understanding by taking the lesson quiz. It's a great way to reinforce what you've learned and identify areas you might want to revisit.
And don't forget, the community aspect is just as important as the content itself. This week, why not introduce yourself to your cohort? It's a group of like-minded people, and trust me, having a strong network in this field can open a lot of doors.
Definitely. We've provided a link to the forum in the email you received earlier this week. It's not just about meeting others, it's also a space to share ideas, ask questions, and collaborate with peers who are navigating similar challenges.
Oh, and one more thing, your feedback matters. Got thoughts on how we can make this program even better? Just hit reply on that Monday email or fill out the feedback form we've shared. We want to hear from you.
Exactly. Your input helps us fine-tune and improve what we do. And hey, if you've enjoyed this podcast and found it helpful, why not share it with your friends or colleagues? The more people we bring into this conversation, the stronger the defence ecosystem becomes.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Jessica. And with that, we're signing off. Thank you so much for joining us on Mastering Defence Infrastructure. It's been a pleasure sharing this space with you.
Likewise. Stay curious, stay engaged, and here's to mastering your role in shaping Australia's defence future. Until next time.
Take care, everyone. See you soon.